Our study tonight is out of Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 to 21, clarifying how justification is by God's grace and not by man's works. The Apostle Paul's belief that one is pronounced righteous by God's unmerited favor apart from works has to be explained today because there are numerous parties in Christendom, not only in Catholicism, but even in Protestant circles, who hold that salvation is by faith plus some form of human merits or work. For example, salvation by faith plus the sacraments, by faith plus water baptism, by faith plus speaking in tongues, by faith plus walking the aisle in a certain kind of a church, by faith plus repenting, by faith plus confessing your sins. All sorts of gospels out there. But Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 to 21 very concisely argues how salvation is by God's grace apart from human merit or work. Almost every Sunday in the introduction, what we have in the Sunday morning sermon, I'll quote Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But you might wonder, how? How do we know that? How does that work? And this passage tells us the how. Galatians chapter 2, 15 to 21. Let me read it, and then we'll look at it in depth. Galatians 2, beginning at verse 15. "We who are Jews by nature are not sinners like the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not pronounced righteous by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we Jews, have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be pronounced righteous by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? May it never be, or God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet it's not I, but Christ who's living in me. And the life which I now live in the body, I live by faith on the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Okay, Bible scholars are very divided as to whether the passage that I just read to you is or is not a continuation of Paul's Galatians 2:14 admonition by which he corrected Peter's hypocrisy about the gospel of grace before the church. You'll see in verse 14, Paul says, as he's relating the historical event, "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in front of them all, if you, being a Jew, live after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why are you compelling the Gentiles to live like the Jews do?" And there's a big question is, do the quote marks finish there at the word Jews, or do they continue all the way until the end of the chapter, verse 21? But whether or not the quote marks go all the way there, we do know this, that verses 15 to 21 certainly fit the theme that Paul introduced in verse 14. And so that's how we're taking it. So, Galatians chapter 2, 15 to 21 offers invaluable argumentation as to why one is pronounced righteous by God only by faith. And there are three major arguments. The first one is offered in verses 15 and 16. The first argument, Paul argued that the experience of the apostles showed that nobody could be justified by works. Now, this is something, incidentally, I think, especially the Roman Catholic Church has missed. Nowhere do you find the apostles having to keep the sacraments to go to heaven. Nowhere do you find them teaching it. And, in fact, as Paul shows here, the apostles themselves, as Orthodox Jews who had tried their very best to keep the law, couldn't, and admitted they could. In fact, Peter, we have a quotation from Peter that he couldn't keep the law. Paul mentions that. And so the argument Paul uses is, if the apostles of all people couldn't keep the law, they had to fling themselves upon God's grace. Everybody else who wants to be a Christian has to do the same thing. No work is going to help, no merit is going to help any other Christian if the apostles couldn't help themselves. So Paul referred to himself and to Peter as Jews who culturally and religiously knew that they were not as vile sinners as were the pagan Gentiles. And remember, Paul is speaking as an Orthodox Jew. Peter is speaking as an Orthodox Jew. Orthodox Jews, even to this day, they believe in the inerrancy of the Old Testament. They believe every word is verbally inspired by God. They believe in the existence of angels. They believe in resurrection from the dead and so forth. They just don't believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, many of them, and the vast majority of them. So Paul said, we knew as Orthodox Jews that we're not as vile as the pagan Gentiles. However, being thus, quote, better, end of quote, than vile Gentiles, Paul asserted that both he and Peter knew they themselves had to be pronounced righteous by faith in Christ, for they themselves had not been able to be justified by keeping the law. That's an amazing admission Paul makes. Verse 16, knowing that a man is not pronounced righteous by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. He's speaking as an apostle. I have a wonderful quote that I just love to use about the Apostle Peter saying the same thing. In Acts chapter 15, when they had that initial church council in Jerusalem, they had met to see if salvation was by faith alone or if salvation was by faith plus circumcision. We have an amazing confession by the Apostle Peter. In Acts chapter 15, Peter is speaking at about verse 8. Actually, let me start verse 7. I'll start with Peter's discussion. And when there had been much dispute in Peter, the Apostle Peter, now this is the man that the Roman Catholic Church says was the first pope. Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. He's referring to Acts chapter 10, Cornelius' household. And verse 8, and God, who knows the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did to us. In other words, he gave the Holy Spirit to these Gentiles who weren't even circumcised. They weren't anywhere close to being Jewish. And he put no difference, verse 9, between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Not circumcision. Faith alone. Now, therefore, why do you test God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Peter admits that he couldn't keep the law. But, verse 11, we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. What does it mean by the grace of Christ? Through faith. Not by the works of the law. So the Apostle Peter himself, at the first church council, very clearly said that justification was by faith, apart from anything else. Very strong statement by the Apostle Peter to make. So indeed, if the apostles, Orthodox Jews, who had tried keeping the law, had been not able to do so, they hadn't been able to attain to God's righteousness because of their own sins, so that they had to turn to God's grace through Christ to be justified by faith, then no one else could be justified by human work or merit either. Now, I'm not sure. I think the Catholic Church treats all of the apostles as saints. Would that be true? I think so. So you can say even the saints, they had to be saved by faith, justified by faith. Very possible, very powerful argument. Justification is by faith alone. That's the only way the apostles could make it. Boy, if that's the only way the apostles could make it, that's certainly the only way I can make it or anybody else. The second argument Paul uses is in verses 17 to 20. Paul argued that were the keeping of the law to produce holiness, no, he said that the keeping of the law could not, produce holiness. But this holiness was available only by God's grace through Christ in the Christian walk of faith. In verse 17 of Galatians chapter 2, Paul was responding to a criticism that he knew existed among Judaizers who had opposed him and who influenced the Galatians to seek circumcision for salvation. So that verse reveals that these Judaizers suggested that Paul's assertion that justification by faith apart from the law eliminated the need for law and encouraged sinful living. In other words, he's saying, Paul, if you're saying justification is by faith apart from the law, then there goes godly living, because godly living is defined by the law. Well, Paul answered this in a twofold answer. The first answer is given in verse 18. Paul first revealed that to build again what he had destroyed, namely to go back to living under the law once he believed in Christ, was to make himself a sinner all over again. This was because the law could only condemn one who tried to keep it, as no mortal man could live up to the come up with a sufficient works or merit that satisfied a perfectly holy God. I put Romans chapter 3, verse 20 in the notes there because that verse says Therefore, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. All the law does is expose my sinful weakness. It sets the standard so high I can't reach up to it. In fact, Paul elsewhere in Galatians argues that the law was given to condemn. So God could lock everybody up in the prison house called condemnation, so that when he opens the gate of Christ, all you have to do is walk through Christ and you come out of the prison house. So the law was never intended to save. It was intended to show us our need for Christ. Paul then revealed that the answer to the need for believers to live holy lives is not found in trying to keep the law in one's own effort. For the believer's justified status in Christ meant he was positionally dead to the law with Christ by way of his substitutional death form. The first part of verse 20 says, I'm crucified with Christ. See, when Christ died, he died to the law. And if I'm crucified with Christ, I'm dead to the law. So why do I put myself back under something that I'm dead to positionally in Christ? However, just because I'm not under the law doesn't mean I don't live a holy life. I live a holy life because I'm identified with Christ in his death and resurrection. And I have Christ living in me, so that by trusting in Jesus Christ, the Lord lives a holy life through the believer apart from the believer's own merit or works, producing holy living apart from the law. The last part of verse 20 is absolutely priceless. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I've been in counseling situations where I've been called to a home because there are desperate situations. In fact, one night, I remember I was called, and the husband and wife, I think she'd called the police on him, and they were just about ready to get the divorce. They'd had it. And they were calling me as the last ditch. And I swallowed hard, and I said, okay. I thought of this verse, and I thought, you know what? I need to tell them the truth. I said, currently, the way things stand, there's absolutely no hope for you. You will get a divorce. And that shook them up big time. And I said, the reason is neither of you can live a godly life. You're saying, Pastor, we can't? I said, no. Neither of you can live a... Well, why did we call you over here? I said, well, I needed to let you know I can't live the Christian life either. I said, you can't either? Are you having marital problems? You know, kind of a thing. No. But I can't live the Christian life. Neither can you. But you need to let Christ live it through you. And that got their attention. It's the first time, and they're Christians, the first time they recognize, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to be trying to live this thing. God is supposed to be living it through me. I got to rely on Him. He can live it. And so I urged them to do that, and I took them to Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 23 to talk about the sin nature and the Spirit of God. And every time they had a fight, I said, you have to sit down on the couch. This is your spiritual vitamin pill. You have to read that passage together. Then call me. They never did call me because the passage would always critique who was out of fellowship with the Lord. And they'd get back in fellowship with the Lord. The couple's still married, incidentally. Still married. So, you have to depend upon Christ. None of us can live the Christian life but Christ. But Christ can live it through us. That's a marvelous, marvelous miracle, but it's true. Third, Paul revealed that were righteousness available by human merit or works, the death of Christ for sinners was a terrible mistake by God, a needless waste of suffering for the Son of God. Verse 21 is a tremendous argument. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. You see, if it's possible for a person to get saved by some degree of his own works, it was a horrible mistake on God's part to send his sinless son and subject him to the cross and to pour our sins on him and pour his wrath out upon his own son for us. What a terrible thing. No, the only way that the cross of Christ makes any sense is if there's absolutely nothing any human being can do to save himself. And in desperation, God sends his own son and he pays the entire price. So by faith in him, the entire price was applied to Christ, and his righteousness is applied to us, and we get salvation as a gift. That's the only way to make it. And that's a very powerful argument. This final point, incidentally, I put in parentheses, powerfully undermines all arguments favoring human merit or work for salvation. See, if baptism can do it, if the sacraments can do it, if going forward in church service can do it, or confession, if I can do anything in myself to save myself, the whole work of the cross of Christ
was an effort in futility. And that reflects negatively upon God. So the lesson is justification can only be by grace through faith apart from all human merit of works for several reasons. If the apostles had to be saved by faith since they could not achieve it by works, no one else can be saved by human merit or works. The law can only condemn, as no one can achieve the merits to be saved. Then holy living comes only by the believer's trust in Christ to live through him. And were justification available by human merit or work, Christ's death was a huge mistake by God. So may we rest assured that justification can only be by faith alone in Christ, based upon these arguments. And then as an illustration, I wanted to use this. Martin Luther, who is the great reformer, he considered himself a Catholic to the day of his death. His goal was to reform the Catholic Church, to get it back to the truth. As he lay dying, and he was very aware of the fact that he was dying, his last words were these: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And that man died putting his hope in that verse, that it wasn't by the works, it wasn't by his works, it was by justification by Jesus Christ. And he went out into eternity. Of course, he was a believer. He knew the Lord as his Savior. But that's the only way. If Luther was saved by grace alone, if Paul was saved by grace alone, if Peter was saved by grace alone, guess what? Everyone else has to be saved by grace alone, by faith through Jesus Christ. The arguments that Paul has presented here, that's the way the apostles had to go. That's the only way, because the law, all it can do is condemn. And the only way we can be holy is through Christ living his holiness through us, because we're powerless to do it. And if there's any human effort that can save ourselves, then the death of Christ is a mistake. Keeping these things in mind will really hammer home for us the fact that justification is by faith, and we'll know why and be able to explain it to people.
Okay, we're off here now. I don't know if you have any questions or not.